Hello, it's Dave O'Neill here, and welcome to The Debrief, my COVID editions, because I'm in Melbourne, so live gigs aren't happening. Apart from on Zoom, I've been doing quite a few Zoom gigs, which has been very different, but I quite enjoy them now. Well, you don't have to leave the house. I've got my Zoom studio. Been doing it for different companies and teachers and all sorts of groups. Anyway, now I'm going to talk to one of my oldest friends in comedy, Fred Rowan, who we used to do shows together back in the 90s. Mid-90s, I must have met Fred. And I'm talking to him today because he's actually put out a COVID song. It's a take on Bohemian Rhapsody. We'll attach at the end of the podcast, but let's call Fred right now. I'll put a link to the film clip that he's made. But let's call Fred Rowan, a bit of a comedy legend. Here we go. See if he's around.
Hello.
Fred, it's Dave. How are you?
Hey, good, good. Can you hear me?
Going for a drive, do a little gig, then drive back with the chat. It's called The Debrief. It's called The Debrief. It's called The Debrief. It's called The Debrief. It's called The Debrief.
I can hear you fine, Fred. I'm recording, so don't say anything libelous, but that's cool.
Well,
here we are. So, Fred, people may not know you. They may remember you from the days we used to do shows together. Long-term fans would know you, because I'm trying to remember when I first met you. I reckon you used to do a show with Ian, Crazy E, called Crime Stoppers.
That's right, yeah. And I did it. I started that about 1991,
yeah.
Something like that. And I'm pretty sure the first time I met you, I might be wrong, but it was that, you remember that place down the hill going towards Footscray, and it was a pretty unsalubrious kind of area.
Mulcahy's.
Yeah, Mulcahy's, and it had a theatre restaurant called...
Back of Burke,
that's right.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah, it was an interesting place. They used to get, like, wharfies.
Yeah, and they'd finish their shift and walk through the front doors, because I can't remember the theatre restaurant operating that much, but we used to do comedy in the main bar.
Yeah, that's right.
And it was very confronting, because wharfies would walk in middle conversation going, oh, I fucking said to that guy, put the fucking thing up. And they just stare at you on stage, and it's like, what? We'd ruin their night, basically, by existing.
Yeah, that's right. We stuffed up their night, so that was the... comedy scene, I guess. That was the open mic scene.
There was
exactly, yeah.
And there weren't that many of us. It would have only been about 10 of us. And you used to do that act with Crazy E where you'd dress up as cops.
That's right.
And you'd come stage and you'd pretend to give a public speaking. What did you used to talk about? Drugs and...
The gist of it was like the police getting out there and... You know, the public know that they're okay guys. You know? But it started with them saying hi. There you go. And they did a hug. Remember the routine about police cuddling. You know, so that was a whole thing about stress and cuddling and stuff.
It's bloody funny. Did you do it on TV? Did you ever do it on? You must have done it on spots on TV, because there were quite a few. We could get quite a few TV spots. I did Midday. I did New Faces. Yeah. I did Hey Hey. Did you do Hey Hey or Midday or?
Yeah, we did. We did. We did New Faces, where Crazy E, who's my partner, hugged Bert Newton. I think
at some point
we were doing the routine where we cuddled one another.
Yes,
hug to show, you know, police are caring and sensitive and that stuff.
So yes.
Crazy went and did a demonstration for Burt or something.
Did you do Tonight Live with Visor? Did you do that?
Yeah, we did Tonight Live. That wasn't a very good one, I don't think.
No, I don't remember. I remember auditioning for Tonight Live, but I never got to go on. But I remember going to the audition with you and Vic Plume, all the legends from back then. Matt Hayden. Yeah.
Yeah. The the hopefuls, the desperados.
when did you first start doing solo work? Because you were very in the 90s, you were very famous for doing your guitar act, which you used to call a radio. What did you used to call it, Fred? Radio.
Peter Grace, I don't know, he was a comedian and radio, famous radio bloke, and he said, why don't you call it a stand-up radio, mate? And
so, that's right.
And so it became stand-up radio. And, yeah, so that was that, and I'd just go through the stations.
Yeah, you do all the DJs that talk like that, the kind of the, yeah, back then, of course, in the Fox FM and Triple M, they all spoke like that.
That's right. And they had this really great voice and really smooth, and it just went on. It was really kind of laughable. Now you can see how stupid it was, but, you know, they were, I don't know, cowboys?
Cowboys. But you still hear it in regional radio, and still, like, Smooth FM, that you get. Oh, that's a sort of a different style now, isn't it, with the...
Yeah.
Welcome to Smooth FM.
What do you call that radio now? It's got a... They're all got little niches, don't they, like... Markets.
Yeah, that's cool. Adult, maybe.
Adult. Yeah, that's right. Adult. Adult, whatever it is. Yeah, it sounds kind of sleazy, but. So there was a few sleazy guys there, too, I think, on. I won't say anything.
It's great. They're obsessed with going outside and going to the park. Maybe tomorrow. Cameron Daddo's always talking about going out. You've got to go outside and get some sunshine and. Go to the park and, oh, God. And, of course, we worked together, so we did a few shows together, didn't we, Fred? Yeah. We did...
That's right.
Thanks for coming to your 21st.
Yeah, that was the routine of yours, wasn't it?
It used to be one line at the start of my stand-up where I'd say, I'd tap on the mic and I go, thanks for coming to my 21st.
Yeah.
But we developed that into a whole play. It was a play, basically, wasn't it? Panto? What would you call it?
I really don't know. That's a good point. Play? I don't know. Because it had a storyline, didn't it?
I was at my 21st, and we did it in an RSL. Yeah. We did the St Kilda RSL. Yeah. And you and my best mate, Macca, and I was like the gullible 21st guy. Mark Pengilly was a variety of roles. He was the Gorilla Graham who would come and do puns and stuff.
That's right.
And someone, I think you spiked my drink, and I went into this world which was like Wizard of Oz, and I had to get back to the.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I think the thing is, we had a few months off, and I was thinking, oh God, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Thanks for coming to my 21st. That's a great line, but so I went to Crazy's place.
Yes.
And he said, why don't you do it like he goes into 21st land?
That's right. We went to 21st land. Oh, God. It was Crazy's idea. That's right.
Yeah, it was Crazy's idea. So, your drink spiked. And what was it? I can't remember your character.
I can't remember his name either. And then we went to this land of 21st where there were bad speeches. Relatives. Nutbush. We did the Nutbush. That's right. We did the Nutbush.
It was sort of like So the whole thing was, character Dave had to get back to his party, but he was lost in 21st land. So,
Yes.
I can't remember. Was he avoiding jokes or something? Trying to avoid.
I can't remember, Fred.
Yeah.
It was a while ago. Gorilla
Graham, anyway. He was trying to get away from
the Gorilla Graham.
That's right. A character that wanted to be, the Gorilla Graham wanted to be funny.
Yes, remember? Yes.
So they were all going to meet the Great Wazza.
The Great Wazza, that's right. Who was the DJ, maybe? Was he the DJ at the party? The Great Wazza? Or was that you? You had a hat with two beer cans on your head.
That's right. I think. That was Wazza.
But that was a very successful show, and it sold out every night. And then someone had the idea to tour to Ballarat. Remember, we went to Ballarat and did it for one night, and it was a disaster.
That was
awful.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, destined to fail that one. But
it's a great idea. And remember, we were meant to do two or three nights, but we couldn't face it. So we sent Mark Pengilly. We paid him some petrol money, and he went out and picked up all the props and drove home.
Oh my God! I can't remember that.
Me and you said we don't want to go back to that place because we got a few people turning up, but I think they thought it was an actual 21st. They couldn't see the irony in the...
Yeah, it was really, yeah, it was too far out of, you know.
That was brutal.
Because
the people we attracted were all in their 20s and 30s who'd been to a lot of 21sts.
That's right, yeah.
And so we were in our 20s or maybe on the cusp of 30. And so we'd experienced this a lot with our friends' 21st, our own 21st. And so it was a satire. But but when you went to the Ballarat Footy Club, that there was no, that didn't...
No. They were... That was... Yeah.
That's funny. I remember that. And then the next year we did... what was the show called the next year, Fred? Smells Like Bin Night.
Smells Like Bin Night, which was your one. That was your idea, Smells Like Bin Night. It was like sketches and stuff.
It was a sketch show. That went well too, actually. Yeah.
That went really well, yeah. And we did it at... hang on. We did it at the Adelaide Fringe first.
Yeah.
Was it Fringe? And then to the big one, the comedy festival.
Yeah, but we had the smallest room in the house. We had the backstage room, which is 55 seats, but we sold out every night, Fred. So
Yeah.
With our poor Caledra and Felicity Menadue.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, that was good fun.
It was good fun, yeah. That's where I came off, Gary Sensible Jeans, you know, that character.
Yes.
And that, which Gary Sensible Jeans, I think I did on Eric.
Yes, because we were both in the Eric sketch show too.
Yeah, Eric in 1997.
Right? Yeah, and you did you do some? And you also did music. I remember doing a musical sketch with you on Something Hot Before Bed when you did your Sting song. So Fred does a very good Sting sings the party songs, and you did a film clip on an ABC show, and I played a farmer with a big watermelon, I think.
Yeah, that's right. It was I Water Beauty. Yeah,
that's
Sting.
Right.
I Water Beauty. Yeah. So.
And you also did REM.
What else?
Nirvana. You did Nirvana.
That's right. Leonard Cohen, Nirvana. Who's that guy in REM?
Michael Stipe.
Did you say REM? Paul Kelly, the great Oz rocker, Paul Kelly.
Talking about a national treasure. Is that when you do the song about Bert Newton?
Bert Newton, yeah. Great person, you know, the Paul Kelly sort of voice. talking about Bert Newton, singing about Bert. Yeah, that was, I really liked that one.
That's great. So REM, what was the one, Leonard Cohen? Oh, and Nirvana, you did I Found a Vein. That was very good. It looked...
Yeah, that's right. I Found a Vein. That was written by... I don't think it was written by me. Someone wrote it. Glegg, what's his name? Someone who's died now had a real bad thing. He had a terrible thing because copyrights went. I can't think of his name, but he helped write the song, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, really?
Greg Hamm.
Greg Hamm helped write the song?
Yeah, Greg Hamm.
From Men at Work.
From Men at Work, yeah. He helped. I think he came up with I Found a Vein, which is...
because it was a parody of the Nirvana song. That was a good song.
It is a good
song. It's the MTV special one, yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember. Yeah, so anyway, that was good fun.
That was good fun.
The guy from Nirvana and the Silverchair Kid.
You did Silverchair as well. I remember playing bass with you doing that. Yeah, we used to do that live. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Matt King, a couple of other people, yeah. And you played on Eric's sketch show, you played drums.
Oh, that's right.
King sings party song.
Oh, and did I?
They had a great slow-mo of you playing drums doing this. The crash of the cymbals and stuff. It was quite funny. It was really good.
I just remember doing the Silverchair live at the Last Laugh Theatre restaurant. So we ended up taking our midnight show to the Last Laugh Theatre restaurant, which was a big deal back then. And we did a Silverchair song. What was the Silverchair song you used to do? I can't remember. Gee, we've got terrible memories. But I just remember the punchline was I would put down the bass and say to the microphone, I'm going to go back to the Paxton family, because it was a Paxton joke.
That's right? Jeez, no one will remember Paxton.
I know people don't. Well, so people in our age group remember the Paxtons. They were a working class family from the western suburbs of Melbourne. Shane and Bindi Paxton, yeah. And they were ridiculed by a current affair because they flew them to Great Keppel Island or somewhere, and they refused to work in the tropics.
Yeah, it was perfect. Yeah, it was perfect.
But Shane Paxton became a bit of a celebrity because he ended up hanging out with John Safran and going on John Safran's show. But they were kind of that. You could mention them in your stand-up, and everyone knew the Paxtons. Yeah. Everyone knew straight away. Long-haired, unemployed people from the western suburbs. So
yeah. It's like now. Mention Tinder and you get a huge laugh.
Or 10 years ago, Corey the party guy from Frankston. You go, oh, yeah, it's like Corey the party guy from Frankston, you know.
Corey, that's right, yeah. Things are a bit more sophisticated now.
Yeah, but anyway.
I swiped left accidentally, you know, that sort of stuff. You know,
yes.
Which goes over my head. You know?
And, of course, your solo act, though, that you used to do, and it was a great half an hour, 40 minutes of just song parody. Mm. Radio parody. I mean, you used to headline all the time, but working with you a lot.
I did. And I got a bit sick, developed some neurological problems, and so I had to stop.
Yeah,
for a couple of years. And
it's funny that, isn't it? But doing stand up makes you sick. I would believe that. I would absolutely believe that.
Yeah, well, a few people turned nuts.
Yes, a few people had breakdowns, and people physically, they get, you know, it affects them. It is, it's because of the stress of doing it, so.
But when you get the, there's the rewards, you know, if you're a rock star, you get groupies and all the fan, you know, you dress up in great costumes and stuff, but a comedian, what just comes out with his shirt, you know,
But you're back making music, Fred, and I know you've put some great stuff online where you do, I mean, you're always a good impersonator of the Big O, one of my favourites, Roy Orbison, and you used to do Crying to Dying, because he had a very tragic life, Roy Orbison.
He did. It was quite perfect. It was absolutely perfect. You know, he was kind of,
Mickey out of, because he used to sing crying because his house caught on fire.
His kids died.
Oh, it's terrible.
Absolutely terrible. In a fire, I think. And his wife died too. His first or second wife died.
Yeah.
In a car, a motorcycle accident.
It's terrible. So, But you're a comedian, so you say instead of crying, it was dying, wasn't it?
That's a comedian's job to.
That's it. You know,
like prey on misery. You know?
Exactly. Well, he's never going to hear it. He's long gone, but. But I absolutely always love Roy Orbison. In fact, I think my dad loves Roy Orbison. Well, he used to. I don't know if he still does. And we had Roy Orbison records. We used to have Penny Arcade on a single that we used to play.
Oh, I know that. Yeah, that was
a Penny Arcade. It's a very early Roy Orbison song, I think.
Yes. I don't know his career that much, but I remember that was in his kind of heyday.
Traveling Wilburys. He was, that reignited his career, the Traveling Wilburys.
And he was kind of an R&B artist. He wasn't that bad. You know, he actually had an R&B rock and roll back. But he sort of ended up being this kind of weird-looking guy, Sonny's, this nerdy guy. Sonny's playing sad songs, but I think he was a bit more than that. So
he was a songwriter too. He wrote most of the songs.
That's right. People forget that he was actually a songwriter.
Unbelievable songwriter. When you think of In Dreams, that's the one in Blue Velvet. In Dreams. I could sing them all for
Blue
you
Bayou.
Now. Blue Bayou.
Blue Bayou, yeah.
Pretty Woman.
Only the Lonely, Crying, In Dreams. Lots of real classic songs.
I'm getting tingles thinking about it.
even kids would know that. So he's Roy, the big O. That's good. I'd like to still do a bit of Roy.
Well, there's definitely a market for you getting out there and just doing a Roy Orbison show, the Big O show, you know. Definitely. After this COVID, I mean, we're in COVID at the moment in Melbourne. You can't do anything at the moment, but definitely.
Nothing. Yeah, exactly.
Just RSLs, you know, aged care homes, anything.
And you know, someone's birthday, like your dad.
Yeah, exactly. Because you've actually got a good voice too. You do parody, but you've actually got a good voice, Fred. So
yeah, well, thank you.
And recently, you've been working on a COVID song, which is Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah.
Which is
Freddie Mercury's. You know, I chose a voice that's just so hard to do.
Yeah.
But, you know, I never liked Queen, but geez, you know, listening to that song, really, he's got the best voice.
I was never a Queen fan either, but they have got some good songs, and your version is fantastic. I'm gonna put on the end of this podcast. We'll put the shortened version, but I'll put a link. Or should we put the whole version? What, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Thanks, Dave.
It'll go straight into it, Fred. It'll go straight into it.
Yeah. Great. Yeah.
And we'll put a link to the because there's a clip. There's a film clip as well.
Yep. Nice film clip. Yeah, it was really well done by this guy, Andrew, not Johnson. So he did a great job with the film clip.
Yeah, he did a great job. He did one for my brother too, that guy. My brother started making music again, my older brother Trev. And
And
he's just like a student in Sydney who sits there making film clips. Good on him. What a skill.
Pretty good, yeah. And it's pretty hard for comedy too, so he did a good job.
He did a good job, and we'll put that on. But I've got to ask you my questions. I ask everyone, Fred, on this podcast. What was the last thing you cooked, Fred?
Last thing I cooked. I don't know. I was last night. I'm the cook, really.
You're the chef.
Yeah, I'm the chef. What was it I cooked? Oh yeah, carbonara.
Oh, nice.
Fettuccine carbonara. So you mix it in cream, ham. Bit of basil, fresh basil, and parmesan.
Nice.
It was a very, very good meal, that's for sure.
Yeah, carbonara is very filling. I love it.
Very, very filling.
What was the last thing you watched or listened to, Fred? That's the other question.
Sorry, Jesus. last night.
Do you watch series or what do you watch, Fred?
Series.
Oh, do you just watch TV or just stuff on the internet?
I watch the AFL. I'll watch the Tigers when the Tigers play.
Oh, you're a Tiger supporter, that's right.
Tiger supporter, yeah. So we're going well now. We weren't about 10 years ago. We were shit about 10 years ago, but we're in flying high now. So.
Flying high. Well, we'll say the Tigers. All your family Tiger supporters, are they?
Oh, Dad.
Your dad is, yeah. Well, he'd be happy. He's seen a few grand finals.
Yeah. He is. He's sort of backed away. I think too many years of misery have he's turned back on the Tigers.
But your dad is similar age to my dad. They're in their 80s, their mid-80s.
No. My dad's 90.
Oh, your dad's 90?
92, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've met your dad. He's still going. That's amazing.
Yeah. He's one of those wiry old bush guys. You know, he did a lot of work in the bush. Country and stuff, so we
they led pretty clean lives. Like, my dad didn't drink or smoke or anything like that, you know.
Well, my dad,
my dad wouldn't see another Collingwood grand final, but they won one in 2000 and something, so that's good.
Eyes guy, oh, that's great, he did it,
but he's still around. Collingwood could still win, you don't know, what's going to happen, Fred, this time around, but anyway, Richmond are up there, so
let's hope it's not the bloody Lions,
yeah, I know, they're annoying. But anyway, bloody Lions. Yeah. Okay, what was the last bit? This is the last question, Fred. What was the last bit of human contact you had?
Human contact? Wife.
Your wife. Well, that's good to hear. Well, it's an interesting question for people who live by themselves in Melbourne. Sometimes it's, you know, oh, God, I haven't seen anyone for ages. But you're married, so. Yeah. And you're up there in beautiful Moorabbark, near where I grew up.
It's it's called Mongrel Bark, you know. Rough sort of looking blokes there. Kill Greens, you know, stickers on your car.
I know the area well, don't worry. And it's sort of on the fringes of, I mean, not so much these days. When I grew up, it was very bushy. Yeah. And if you want to escape, you'd go to Lillidale and Moorabbark and just live on a block and not talk to anyone.
You don't want to go there. You don't want to go there now. No, we actually live in a nice place, a nice house up the kind of hill, so we're lucky.
Yeah, someone who visited your house, Ray, the great Ray Mattson, another comic legend from the 90s, yeah. He was telling me about your house. He said it's very nice. Fred's house is very nice, he was saying.
Yeah, no, we've got a good place, and it's, you know, away from the roof rack. It's an old 50s house, so it's kind of good. It's not, we're a little bit away from the action, so it's a bit better.
The Muralbark Shops. I've done a gig at that Civic Centre for the Comedy Festival.
Yes.
And it's called a theatre, but it's just like a hall. It's not a theatre.
No, it's not a theatre. Theatre or something? I'm not sure, but yeah, I know the hall.
You know the hall.
Yeah.
Well, Fred, great to chat, and we'll put your song on now. Yeah. So, and have a look.
Oh, thanks, Dave.
It's gonna rocket up the charts. it's a COVID song. Fred Rowan, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Fred. Cheers.
Is this important or just a wet market dream? A harmless cop or world domination thing? Relax on the couch and check out what's on the TV. Thousands dead, oh boy, there ain't no immunity, 'cause diseases come, diseases go, mostly relates to bats. Anyway, this wind's blown this virus round the when COVID, it kills a man, there's no gun against his head, it's in his lungs and then it's breath, parts of his body start to shut down, and it's then he knows it's ventilator time. See a million people looking very sick. Scary shit, scary shit. And I've got no toilet paper.
Molly,
very, very
frightening.
IGA.
Thank you all.
Look, mate, you got the Herald Sun.
I've got to go.
I'm just a poor guy socially distancing. Just a mask and he's home all alone. Washing his hands every hour. My friends don't give a shit. Don't go out, you turds.
Bullshit, mate. Yes. Gonna have a piss up.
No.
Bullshit, mate. Let's get some KFC.
No.
Bullshit, mate. Sex in quarantine.
No.
It's just a stupid flu.
No.
Here's while I write.
No.
I've got a call.
You just let the virus spread.
Mamma mia, Lion King.
I never book a room at a Melbourne hotel. Being eaten to extinction. Perhaps they'll have the last laugh. We'll see. Anyway, this virus blows.